This is Mountain Money on KPCW Public Radio. Thanks for listening in this morning. I'm Renee Bodley Miller in studio with my co-host, Roger Goldman. How many times have you started your day with a to-do list? Are you filling one out right now? There are things you need to get done, but by the end of the day, maybe you didn't do most of them, any of them. Do you feel like you don't have any control over your schedule? Well, our next guest can help. She's Dr. Cynthia Howard, author of The Resilient Leader, Mindset Makeover, Uncover the Elephant in the Room. She holds a PhD in human development, and in the past 20 years, she's coached thousands of professionals towards consistent success. Good morning, Dr. Howard. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Our first question for you is this new? You quote a study that says over half of Americans spend less than one-fourth of their time in the office on priority, deadline-driven assignments. Has it always been this way?
No, but it has gotten worse. In fact, the attention span, the average attention span has dropped by half. It's only about 8 seconds. So in the past couple of years, we've gone down from 15 seconds to 8 seconds.
And why? What's causing this?
Well, we have more information coming across people's desks in 1 year than has been produced in probably the last several hundred years. So we're in an information overload, and technology has changed how we live, work, and communicate.
Shouldn't it make things easier, though, instead of getting in the way?
Well, unfortunately, it hasn't, because the people aren't using technology to their advantage. So instead of using the apps to make people more productive, they're actually increasing the level of distraction. So people walk around in this constant state of partial attention, and it generates increased anxiety. It's decreased our ability to focus, because if you're not reading things in a way that the information can get into working memory, you actually know less. You aren't learning what you're reading. So people are having to redo what they've started and spend half their time redoing things.
How do you track that? In other words, how are we gathering the information that allows us to draw those kinds of conclusions? Which, by the way, you know, as someone who is much older than Renee, I can recall an era when I got no email on my desk, and the ability to concentrate and get through prolonged periods of focus seemed to be much easier then.
It was much easier for you?
It was.
Right. Well, there actually have been several studies, lots of studies now over the past 20 years. The Shallows is one book that I can come to mind that really gets into this. But the constant scrolling and the constant looking at headlines is what I'm talking about when information is not getting into your working memory. So even young people are experiencing a type of digital dementia where they can't remember things, and things aren't sticking. So one tip is to actually spend 20 minutes a day of uninterrupted time reading. So turn off all of your devices, make sure you won't be disturbed for at least 20 minutes a day. It's the equivalent of going to the gym and doing squats and bench presses and everything else. You're actually building that focus muscle in your brain.
So, Dr. Howard, I just came back from a week vacation at the beach where I actually read books. And it felt like almost a physical shift in my brain to sit down and not have a cell phone in front of me or a laptop in front of me and actually just be able to focus on reading a book. Unfortunately, we don't have that kind of luxury to go on vacations to kind of reset our mind. So in addition to 20 minutes a day of reading, what else can we do as our day goes along and things are coming at us just fast and furious? How do we prioritize?
Well, that is a challenge, and part of the priority problem is not knowing exactly what needs to get done, like what is mission critical, and letting go of anything else that doesn't help you achieve your goal. So some of the distractions are brought on just by ourselves because we're looking for that shiny new object, something shows up, and we're going down a rabbit hole chasing something, and you know, one study from California, Irvine, showed that a 15-second distraction can actually cost you 20 minutes in focus and concentration.
So let's talk a little bit.
What ends up happening is people actually get addicted to that level of distraction, which is why the internet can be so addictive, social media, because there's always something new and novel, and that's what the brain craves, new and novel.
So our brains are now trained for the squirrel effect? Look, you're focused on something and then squirrel and you look away?
That's one way to put it, and that's why things like the 20 minutes a day, and then also a practice of mindfulness, which a moment, one moment is 3 seconds. Now, that 3 seconds is actually a lot of time. So if you can actually start a practice, begin it with your meals. Just eat, you know, put down the magazine, the computer, the cell phone, and just simply be present.
You talk in the book about this notion of three principles that guide sort of good executives in terms of keeping focus. Can you discuss that a little bit with us, and why does it work?
Oh, sure. So the three principles, and that's one way that you can, especially leaders, executives, but even everyday people can limit some of the distractions. When you have three principles that help you function at your best or help you focus your efforts to achieve your goal. So, for example, UPS, you know, one of their principles is to be on time. You know, one of my principles is to stay energized because I'm working with a lot of people who aren't, and it's important for me to demonstrate an option for them. So what are three principles that can keep you going so that no matter what, you know that that's something you want to focus on? And if you go to my website, eileadership.org, you can download that free chapter and learn more about how to actually create those principles.
So
those
three,
does that make sense?
Those three principles are different for everybody?
Yeah, they would be different. So, for example, as a radio host, what is it that you need to do every day in order for you to show up at your best? You know, it could be maybe you find that you have to exercise for 20 minutes in the morning because that's the way that you get rid of that squirrel mind or the monkey mind, as it's called, the racing thoughts, and it helps you to clarify. So everyone has something different. And that's what's so cool about this is when you can decide or determine, you know, what is it that keeps my engine at peak performance, then you're really ahead of the game. And in fact, I think in the opening I heard something about golf. This is what's so powerful about golf. You know, each golfer has their own way of staying focused. They probably have different approaches to it.
And mine rarely work. But the interesting thing about this notion is that the act of defining the three principles, it's almost like creating an anchor, a tripod. So that what you're saying is that if I can create this tripod, these three things that are primary objectives, then the little things will tend to fall better into place. So I think it might be interesting for you to do a couple of, like in the book you talk about the medical transportation company. Could you do a couple of those? Let's talk about a couple of those examples so people can see how we translate that theoretical concept into a practical concept for a specific business.
Yeah, I love that idea of the tripod. I think that's so true. And things either fall into place or things fall away. So, for example, let's look at since I work a lot with healthcare executives or organizations, you know, what is the number one thing that a director needs to do to keep their team focused on getting people in the ER and out within the 6-minute window that they have to get that done? Maybe that particular director has to, whatever he or she needs to do to keep themselves focused. So it could be exercise, it could be diet, it could be something technical like managing the dashboards. It really is an individualized you know, thing. Can you, let's look at the two of you, for example. What do you need to do in order to stay completely up and at the top of your game so that when you're on, you're really on?
Well, here's a funny example. Exercise always helps, but when you're talking about what do you do, I mean, in the morning, we all take a shower, right? And everyone says the best ideas come to me in the shower. Is that because we're alone and focused in the shower? We can't take our, well, maybe we're alone. You can't take your mobile phone into the shower with you. Is that a good example of something that helps you start your day?
Yeah, you know, I think that has to do with mindfulness. Some people, when they're in the shower, it's very sensual. You're focused on just the task at hand. You want to get in and you want to get out. So in some ways, your mind is relaxed. So anytime you can use those 3 seconds, you can actually increase your awareness of what you need to do to be your best. So, for example, well, let's take a golfer. You know, and it's interesting because when you watch the various tournaments, the golfer that's expected to win doesn't always win, and it ends up being a mindset issue. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. We're both nodding vigorously.
Right. And so it has to do with what are the distractions on the course? Is it people in the stands? Is it the weather? Is it the grass? How much it's rained? All these little details, not to mention their own physical body and what they feel. So most people aren't aware of what's going on in their body, their mind, their emotions when they get to work. So they get caught up in activity but are distracted by their own internal noise. Are they hangry? Are they tired and hungover from last? Did they have a fight? All of that is a distraction that actually can keep you from functioning at your highest level.
So
the three principles is just one way to narrow down what you personally need to do to keep your engine really strong. And then you can translate that into a corporate level of principles for your leadership teams.
So you talk about people needing to give themselves their own drama self-check. Is that what you're talking about? And how does that work?
Yeah, that's one way, because when you're aware of what you're experiencing, are you tired? Are you, are you confused about what your boss meant when they looked at you that way? Does that make you, you know, are you losing your confidence? Are you being micromanager? What is, you know, are you rubbing up against an employee that's not doing their job and that's making you upset? So if you know if you're aware of all the different things that upset you, then you can target, you can show up in a way, you can take care of those needs yourself and you can show up in a way that's more focused. So the drama comes when people aren't aware of what's on and they get caught in a drama triangle.
You know, it's interesting.
With gossip and with complaining and negativity and that type of toxicity.
It's interesting that throughout our discussion and throughout the chapter that I did get a chance to read, the concept of threes keeps repeating itself. And I think that's partly because that's the way in which we think best, the way that things move from the sort of superficial to the deeper part of the brain. And you talk about, you know, thinking about three principles. And then you also talk about three questions as another tool to sort of refine our focus and something that one might do at the end of the day. Can you discuss a little bit about that process and why it works?
Right. So the daily review is something I love. It's easy to do. Do it in 5 minutes, no more. It doesn't work better if you spend more time. What works is when you do it consistently. At the end of the day, you ask 3 questions. What worked today? What didn't work? And then what's next? And so you can, by writing all that down, you can actually keep a log of all of your success and failures so that at the end of the week, the end of the month, the end of the year, you can then look back and say, okay, if I do more of this, this is going to help me achieve this goal. And that works personally, and it also works on a corporate level. Just a quick review of what your day was like. Because most of the time, you know, the more distracted we are, the less we engage in helpful habits. We develop unhealthy habits. And certain foundational habits like sleep, the amount of water you drink, exercise, you know, even something like meditation, prayer, those kind of habits actually help build other healthy habits. So the daily review is something that I just think is really powerful and helps you to stay focused.
So as leaders, if you're a manager of a group of people, if you run your own company, what's the best way to get your employees to stay on task?
Well, I would have them do that. I would have everybody do a daily review. As the leader, you can review that review. You can just have a maybe a group review, either in your stand-up meeting or if you use some type of visualization board like a Kanban board where people can identify the projects they're working on. They're easily going to be able to identify the bottlenecks or the problems or challenges so that you're not wasting time trying to figure things out. So I would think that's one way, and then be very clear about what you want that person to do. Don't assume that they know what you're thinking, because knowing their job doesn't necessarily mean they know what to do.
Another thing that I found in my career was that turning off the email notification function on my computer and sort of really resolving not to look for an hour at a time had a remarkable impact because it took the squirrel out of me. Is that something that you've found to be effective? Is that a process that you've employed or recommended?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, take it one step further and have a digital plan, particularly if you're at a company, but even personally, have a digital strategy. Set two times during the day that you're going to check emails, check text, and turn off all notifications, because they really do distract. In fact, studies found that even when people have their cell phones on their desk, or on a conference table and you're all in a room, it's distracting. So the devices need to be put in off the table. In fact, there should be technology-free zones, you know, so that people know when they're going into meetings or they're going into certain areas, their devices are off and put away, so that people can actually have eye contact, talk to each other face-to-face, which has a whole different feel to that level of communication. And we're, you know, 50% of communication today is texting or something digital. We're losing that personal connection.
There's an interesting generational divide here, because I can remember going into a meeting. I was a practicing lawyer for many years. I went into a meeting with a CEO of a publicly traded company, and I took a young associate with me. And we're sitting in the room, and halfway through the meeting, she pulls out her phone and starts looking at her messages. And the CEO shot daggers at her, which was nothing compared to what I said to her afterwards. But the notion
right.
that is an acceptable practice and an acceptable way of living life and engaging in business is really, really astonishing. And you really see that a lot, that younger people think that multitasking is an acceptable mode of daily interaction.
And you are so right. That is the number two problem that leaders, executives, and organizations have. The number one is the accelerated pace of change. How do we deal with it? The number two is how do we deal with the millennials in the workplace and in the marketplace, because it's changed how people, all their habits, from work habits to buying habits. And millennials, think about it. They grew up with a phone. They texted their parents. They texted everything. Everything is digital. But that doesn't mean that they can't learn to do something different. So here's where policies come in. There really should be a digital policy where there are technology-free zones, because the level of anxiety and the level of stress and the level of coping mechanisms are not very good in that generation.
Are we just in this painful transition time, Dr. Howard? Do you think that a book that you would write, let's say 25 years from now, Do you think at that point it's just going to be a matter of course that these digital devices are part of our everyday life and the millennials of today are the managers of tomorrow and we're just going to have much different workplaces and different ways to succeed?
Oh, and that's already changing. Things have flattened out. There's the whole agile transformation. But what has to happen, because technology, I love technology, and I'm not saying that we should throw it away. I'm just saying we shouldn't let it run our lives, that, in fact, human beings should still be in charge of technology. And even when it comes to 5G or AI, how do you continue to connect with individuals and human beings on a personal level? You can't trade that off. I mean, you can't solve people problems with technology. So I think people have to take ownership of their own internal technology. You know, think about our brain as an operating system. It's the same operating system 100,000 years ago, and the stress response gets triggered with all these distractions. So people end up living in a low level of stress, which increases irritability and exhaustion. So I think people have to really understand their own, I call it their operating system, but their own brain and nervous system, and be aware of how this is impacting them so they can do something about it.
Dr. Cynthia Howard, I think that's a great note to end on. Is your website the best place for us to direct our listeners?
Yes, eileadership.org.
eileadership.org. We'll make sure we put a link on to that on our own website, kpcw.org. It's been a lot of fun talking to you, Dr. Cynthia Howard, the author of The Resilient Leader Mindset Makeover, Uncover the Elephant in the Room. Thanks again.
Thank you.